This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to keep on listening to all the content here at 92.9 FM ESPN, you can do so by downloading the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. All you got to do is search for 92.9 FM ESPN. Favorite the station, and you can listen anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand right there on the Odyssey app. Dennis Fuller is producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company today, of course, college football and basketball writer for CBS Sports. He's on Twitter, on X, at David W. Cobb. Cobb, good day, sir.
Hey, let me just say I appreciate the sincerity of your intro for me, because when you and Mark were on, you know, R.I.P. Mark.
Yeah,
you always
he is still with
for
us.
Being,
he's still with us.
He is still with us. Kind of, yeah. But you would always call him like the fourth best columnist in the state of Tennessee or something.
Barely.
And it was just such like a little dig, and I loved it, and it was a great bit. And I appreciate you know, just how sincere and complimentary you are of me.
Well,
intro.
It all stemmed from you left in 2019, right?
Yeah. Wait, no, yeah. No, I left in, yeah, I think so. I can't remember. I've been gone
for
a while.
Were you in Memphis during COVID?
I can't remember. No, yeah, I was in Memphis during COVID. So I was at the CA from 2018 until January of 2020. I left the CA right before COVID started, but we stayed in Memphis for another 18 months.
So it all stemmed from during a COVID show, you know, when there was literally nothing, the Tennessee, not the APSE, for those that are wondering, with the, not the Associated Press Sports Editor Awards, which is kind of
nerdy stuff.
That's like the Emmys, if you will, or if you're in television, it's the Emmys. If you're in film, it's the Oscars. If you're in music, it's the Grammy. That's the one that everybody cares about.
And some people care a lot about them, and then other people like me are like, I don't care.
But I'm saying, in terms of a standard award, it's the one that has the most name brand recognition. Like, I'm putting it in that sense. So this was I believe it was either the Tennessee Sports Writers, or something statewide Tennessee, and they announced that they were going to announce the awards during the middle of our show on a live stream. And so I was like, we're going to stream the stream. Like, we were basically going to do these, like, I was like, we're not going to pull it up on the computer and like have everybody listen to it, because they're, but like, I had Mark sitting in the corner having to watch every category and see when he would come up. And we then figured out that they were actually announcing in the order in which they finished. And so for like the best sports columnist in the category, Mark was three of three. So that was he's a top three sports columnist in the state of Tennessee. Barely. Like, he was literally it.
Yeah, I was once the second place outdoors writer. That's how I started my career.
Yeah, and look where you are now. That was just the beginning.
At the Times Free Press, I was the outdoors writer, and I came second place to like the guy who covered like deer killings for the Crossville Chronicle or something. And I was like, what is my career? What am I doing? And but hey, lo and behold, now a CBS college football and college basketball writer.
Correct.
So let that be a lesson to you children out there.
There's always a chance. You can dream big.
Even if the Tennessee Sports Writers Association tells you you're nothing, you can still be something.
I think Calkins covered NASCAR for a little bit. Man, he was in Anniston. So maybe I've got it wrong. When he was in Anniston, Alabama, he was the preps writer. Mm. But because you're the preps writer,
you owned a Talladega. Yeah.
I would love to know if there's ever been before or since a 3-time Ivy League graduate as the preps writer in Anniston, Alabama. I'm gonna go out on a limb and guess one of one.
Well, hey, look, man, you're insulting the Anniston Star. It's got a great track record of producing good journalists.
I'm sure it's a great paper, but I doubt they have someone that has Harvard undergrad, Harvard law, and a Columbia master's. Because when he decided to quit law, he went and got his master's to like expedite the sports writing process. I mean, so he went to Columbia.
I hope the listeners out there appreciate. Like in the mornings, you got you and Jeff. We got Pepperdine and Ivy League on there. I mean, that's just a lot of like knowledge.
Knowledge. Yes, Pepperdine. If you can't, it is the it's the Notre Dame of Church of Christ.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's exactly whatever. I know everyone's as obviously everybody knows all of that. All right, so let's see what we got coming up on the program. We'll start with last night's game where the Grizzlies pretty much dog walked the Lakers. Wanted to get some reactions from Cobb. Cobb said he stayed up late to watch all that after he watched some college hoops and did his work responsibilities. So we'll discuss that. Depending on how far we get along with that, we'll either do tasting menu now or we'll do tasting menu on the list, because Eric's going to join us during segment number 2. So we'll get Eric's thoughts on the Grizzlies as well. We also, Cobb, we have to figure something out. So we get the audio cut highlights every morning. So on Jeff's show, we play the highlights after big wins. And on one of the baskets in the first half, Eric declared it the shot nurse shot of the game. Well, that was before we saw the Jay Huff play.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jeff was like, you can't do that. I was like, my instinct says, because Shot Nurse is a sponsor, and that's clearly a sponsored segment, they're going to hand out that award in the first half, because then you get first half mention, probably a halftime mention, and the post-game mention, and that helps the sponsor out. But we're going to ask Eric the actual mechanics, because I'm pretty sure it's like Eric just looks over at Elliot, and they just decide. It's not like they receive a note. I think it's up to their jurisdiction, and so we wanted to discuss how the mechanics of that. So we'll discuss that with Eric. We'll get into the list. If we don't get into the tasting menu now, we'll do the tasting menu then. Also want to discuss the news that Florida announced. Florida is doing this. I've noticed this is a new move. The Tigers did it with Silverfield once upon a time. The announcing you're bringing a coach back.
You got to do it. You got to signal to the recruits. Not that Florida has any recruits to speak of.
I want to discuss that with you. I think this is something that coaches tell the administration they need. I don't think it works like that, because I think it's actually backfired. I think now when we see you get the quote unquote vote of confidence, it invites people to be like, oh boy.
Honestly though, Billy Napier, I think this is the one exception, because
no, there are
he's been fired. Like in everyone's mind, he's been operating as a dead man walking all season long, and then all of a sudden this morning it's like, well, maybe he's not. Maybe he's coming back, which is also gonna be really funny, Jeffrey, which this could very well happen. Florida over the next 3 weeks, they have 3 games against really good opponents. They just get dog walked and lose all these games by 4 touchdowns. It's like, is that vote of confidence, is that gonna last for more than 3 weeks?
So we'll discuss that, because I think there's a lot there. There's, I think, different circumstances at play here. So want to discuss that. Then Jason Smith's going to join us at 3:30, like he does each and every Thursday. We'll talk some Grizz, some Tigers with him. Whatever we don't get to, we're going to save for Jason, because I don't know. Like, we got a lot to start with. And so let's start with last night. And Cobb, I think my general takeaway was maybe there's a little bit of like poetic irony, but there's something about the most enjoyable, the most fun win that the Grizzlies have had in a very long time, probably since the beating the Bucks so badly that they started doing the wave the year they got beat by the Lakers in the first round. Like, people go, the GG games are fun. It's like, this was a different level of fun because we saw Ja Morant and LeBron James go back and forth at each other for like 90 seconds, and it was awesome. Like, it was just, LeBron was great all night. That's really about it for the Lakers. But just one of the most satisfying and enjoyable wins. And included in that, Ja Morant tweaks his hamstring. Now, do I think this is the most serious hamstring tweak? No. I probably don't even think this is as bad as what Jaren tweaked at the first day of practice. But there is just a little something like, can we not just have one night where like everything goes right?
But the crazy part about that game is that it was such captivating action that you almost forgot, at least I did, after Ja exited, that like that was a thing. Like
the barrage of threes helped you forget.
Yeah, the game itself was so captivating and so entertaining. It was the NBA at its best. It was the NBA. It's what the NBA should be. You had two star players going at it, doing everything they could to help their team win until, of course, Ja Morant left the game. And then they got chippy. Like, the whole exchange, right? I think I've got the sequence right. It started when Ja thought he had taken a charge on LeBron. He did not get the call.
Yep.
Well, next time down the floor, he just eviscerates Gabe Vincent, hits him with this little baby left-handed hook in the paint. And then, man, that was the most insulting, like, too small gesture that I have ever seen.
Yes.
I mean, Ja was like,
it was almost like he was doing a good morning there. Yeah.
Oh, man, it was high theater, like majorly insulting to Gabe.
Absolutely.
To Gabe Vincent. And then,
and by the way, Gabe, what are you going to do about it?
And then Ja hits LeBron with this little shove, which is kind of hilarious, right? Because LeBron's got at least 60 pounds on Ja. So like,
if there's ever someone that could use the actual too small and it'd be worth, like, LeBron to Ja, like, that is legitimately too small.
And the best part about it, though, is that they were letting these guys play. Now, I realize they called the foul on Ja for shoving up on LeBron. But it was a physical game. They were letting them play. The stars were doing their thing. The crowd was into it. And I was just thinking to myself, like, this is what we want the NBA to be. It's too much of this, like, dabbing each other up, like swapping jerseys, taking selfies, whispering after the game, ha ha, like whatever. And like, I guess some of that's fine, whatever. But like, man, this is like what makes the NBA a great product. And we got that last night and I loved it.
It's almost like we want to see competition when we're watching competitions.
That you feel like they actually care about, too. Like,
correct.
You know, like, within the parameters of a 48-minute game, like, you got to be able to turn on that competition. But then, like, it's entertaining sometimes when, like, you're still mad that you lost when the game is over, right? And it's not just like, oh, whatever, like, you know. Like, and so to see LeBron just kind of retreat down the tunnel after the game, I was like, heck yeah. And, like, he wasn't fuming in the locker room when they asked him about it after the game. I mean, he has some classy remarks about Ja, which you appreciate. But, like, he wasn't going to be there for the whole, like, dog and pony show, like, you know, good job guys, like, whatever, like, we're all buddy buddy. And that's like, man, like, a little bit of animosity is great for the NBA.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, to avoid being like old man sports radio takes of like, I don't like it when they're buddy buddy. I mean, the jersey swap things, it's like, I don't care about it. I don't like it, not necessarily the competitive sense. I don't like it because it feels like it's 1,000% just like an orchestrated photo op for, like, honestly, I feel like the agents orchestrated. And then it always just feels like it's a brand thing. It's always like, it never feels genuine. That's what I don't like about it. But I definitely think, like, there's a problem. I think the NBA has this problem in the sense that the regular season feels so entirely different from the playoffs. And because basically what you're talking about is, like, that's kind of what we get in the playoffs is when you get the, you know, we get a lot of the rivalries, we get a lot of the animosity, like almost everything kind of starts in the playoffs. It's why, even though I'm not like the world's biggest fan of the whole play-in tournament, the reason why I was cool with it is the games at least felt like in the play-in tournament, the cup games, if you will, excuse me, the Emirates NBA Cup, beg your pardon, I apologize. They did feel like they had a little bit more juice. And so I was like, all right, this is more juice, like, get me to it. But when you're watching an NBA regular season game and the whole time you're trying to be like, what does this mean? Like, did this matter? Like, who tried? I think that's a problem. And last night was the classic example of you could tell the game mattered to the Grizzlies.
And you could tell it mattered to LeBron, too.
And then I think it kind of mattered to everyone except D'Angelo Russell. It did not seem to matter to D'Angelo Russell at all. And there's obviously the whole aspect of Anthony Davis didn't play. And let's be clear, that's not just a footnote. Like, that mattered. But at the same time, it's like, when you can't, it's the same problem that the All-Star game has always had. You can sit there and tell us they're going to play hard, they're going to play hard, they're going to play hard. When we watch it, we can tell. You can tell the intensity level and whatnot. And last night, for a regular season Wednesday night, in a game that wasn't super competitive for long stretches, it felt intense, and that was awesome.
Yeah, so that's what you got to see, at least from time to time. Like, if you went to college with a guy, whatever, swap your jersey, get your selfie, like, dab him up, whatever. Like, I don't really have a problem with that so much as it feels like sometimes the results of the game don't bother a player. Like, if you lose a game.
And also, just like, I felt like there was a stretch where, like, somebody was swapping a jersey every single night. It's like, if you want to do the jersey swap, like, make it mean something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's one thing, like, when Ja and Zion swap jerseys, did I care? No. They have a previous relationship. Like,
sure.
Like, whatnot. Like, do I care? But then it's like when Dylan Brooks is swapping jerseys with, like, the seventh man on the bench, it's like, why do I care about this?
Yeah, exactly. So I love the competitor in Ja, and hope he's okay. I think, from my experience, typically he wouldn't have spoken to the media after the game. Were there any real lingering concerns about the injury? Now, you know, you mentioned this before we got on, and you're probably right. Like, if he doesn't play tomorrow night, I would say that's almost to be expected, right? Coming out off of an intense game where you get a little banged up, like, okay, that's fine. But, like, the fact that he talked to the media was encouraging. And then the I don't like them.
Oh, yeah.
About the Lakers. I mean, I love it. I love it. He's
that was like red meat for us.
Yeah, for sure. And, like, when I was on here with you last week, we were being critical of him a little bit for being too responsive to Grizzlies Twitter. And after that conversation, I would say
Twitter in general. Because I want to clarify. I think what gets him is NBA Twitter. Because, like, anytime Ja Morant, like, for instance, I bet if you go and you look at the 360 layup from Monday night, either of them, I guarantee, like, you go and you look at, there's always, like, reply guy, and it's like Ja Slaw, or, like, you know, Ja Soft. And I think what happens is he sees that and then he conflates that to, like, everyone. It's like LeBron has, like anytime LeBron puts anything on social media, like, there's the immediate LeBron reply guy that's like, bubble championship didn't count. Like, and it's like, that's what I think. He's never learned to separate that.
Well, I think it's a fine line, and he generally, I think, walks it pretty well, because, like, yeah, Ja can probably read too much into things he shouldn't read into. But, like, go and watch The Last Dance and see the way Michael Jordan was able to, like, draw motivation from even the most simple and, like, low-key perceived slights. And Ja Morant has some of that mindset in him, and I love it when it comes out, especially in a victorious moment. That's when you love to see it, right?
It's Ja, like, is right, a tremendous front runner, unbelievable front runner.
Yeah, and he was chirping a little bit after that game last night. I'll say this: like, if you're trying to draw grand conclusions about where the Grizzlies are headed based off of last night's win, stop. Like,
yeah, no, absolutely.
The Lakers did not have Anthony Davis. The Lakers, even with Anthony Davis, I think at best are a play-in team, because there's some other really good teams in the West this year. But it was a great game with so many storylines, even beyond Ja and LeBron. I mean, for crying out loud, the Grizzlies didn't even have their head coach. Jay Huff had this ridiculous third quarter. Jalen Wells, it's almost like at this point, it's almost like expected that he's going to do what he did, even though what he did last night was ridiculous for a rookie. You just go on and on. And that was far and away the most, I think, entertaining game of the season. Like, we've had some great individual highlights from Jay Huff and John Morant this year, which that's a weird thing to say, to put those two in the same category, but you kind of can. But man,
killer
Jays roster. Yeah, it was what a game. I love that game. That was one of those games that you're like, this is why we love the NBA. This is why we're lucky to have the NBA here, and why we need to appreciate it too. Because the next time the Lakers come back to Memphis, there's no guarantee that we're going to see that version of LeBron, and there's no guarantee that we see LeBron after this season. I mean, there's a very real scenario where that was the final time we saw a truly great performance from LeBron James inside of FedEx Forum.
Yeah, I mean, he was, absolutely spectacular. Like, in the end, the Lakers weren't in it, but it certainly wasn't from a lack of LeBron. And he was incredible, and that sequence of them going at each other was incredible. And I'm with you. I think it also goes to show, I don't know if this is a problem, but it's something that stands out to me. Beating the Lakers, I'm a fan of the Giants, so we're in the NFC East. We don't do it very often, but beating the Lakers is just like beating the Cowboys. It's like, even if the Cowboys stink, it's still fun. And it's like, I don't really care if the Lakers are the one seed, if they're a play-in. It's fun to beat the Lakers because they have truly one of the only, like, national fan bases. Like, they're one of, honestly, I think they're, like, really one of one, because I'm still not convinced the Warriors fan base is anything other than Steph fans. But the Lakers, even without LeBron, they're always going to have their fans, and they show up, and it's just fun in your own building to, like, wave goodbye to people.
It adds that energy. It was the same way when I was covering Tennessee, and they would play Kentucky, because there's somehow 3,500 Kentucky fans that sneak their way into Thompson Bowling Arena, now known as the Food City Center.
Oh, and shut up.
They're go big blue chants start ringing out when they go on an 8-0 run or something. Well, what does that do? It gets the Tennessee fans up for when they go on a run, and then all of a sudden the electricity in the building just starts building, and it makes for a great environment. And there's an element of that too when you get a team like the Lakers in. And then there was another subplot with the Lakers being in town last night, which is that they gave Jay Huff a look. They gave Scottie Pippen Jr. a look, and they said, nah, no thanks. And somehow, some way, those guys end up being identified as by the Grizzlies front office as players who could come in and make a difference. And boy, did they make a difference last night. And so, you know that for the team, they know that Jay Huff and Scottie Pippen Jr. were kind of passed over by the Lakers. And so, you know that team knew it was special for those guys to not only win the game, but to have big performances against that team. And, like, how mad are you if you're a Lakers fan where you have no depth? You're playing Christian Coloco major minutes, who, I don't know if you caught this, but Pete Pranica had a great one-liner on Coloco when Jaren was kind of beating him up in the post. And he was like, well, Coloco, man, he's got good length, but just not much girth.
Yeah.
And that was Pete.
Well, then there was also the way he was saying Coloco. I was like, wait, is Bruno back? At first, I thought he was saying Caboclo. Yeah, I was like, whoa, he's still in the league? I was like, no, that's a different guy. Yeah, I think the other point is, like, give the front office credit. I mean, like you said, it's not like they're the only people discovering these people, but they are the ones that are figuring out the best way to utilize them.
Yeah, without a doubt. And so you get Scottie Pippen Jr. with 14 points, 4 assists, 6 rebounds, and then the third quarter from Jay Huff. Like, that was kind of like the ultimate middle finger to a front office that clearly didn't see enough from that guy. And I think it's a credit to the system.
I was going to say, the other thing is, like, to your point about, like, how it mattered to them, Darvin Ham now, he's now on the Bucks staff.
Right.
Like, Scotty even mentioned after last week's game, like, there's a coach over there that thinks I couldn't play. And, like, he's like, I took that personal. Like, I mean, to your point, like, it's the same type thing. And yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, if I'm a Lakers fan and then I'm watching, like, this walk out just so that we can keep LeBron happy, so that we can have a photo op of him and Bronny, like, that would drive me insane.
Yeah, so you got LeBron and AD, but you don't have enough around them for me to look at the Lakers and see a legitimate threat in the Western Conference. Whereas the Grizzlies, even when they're down one of their stars, I mean, Desmond Bane's not out there. Not to mention Marcus Smart, GG Jackson, Vince Williams, Luke Kennard just now coming back. And Yet, amid all those injuries, the Grizzlies have taken depth pieces that were deemed unsuitable for LA and have used them to beat an LA team that has no depth. And so I don't see how you can look at that outcome last night and draw any other conclusion aside from the fact that, like, the Grizzlies front office does a really good job of identifying helpful low budget players and then developing them into the best version of themselves. And that's something they deserve a lot of credit for, because they have had to reach a point now with Ja, Jaren, and Dez on these massive contracts. You can't afford to have a Jonas Valanciunas on the team anymore. Heck, you can't even really afford to pay a DeAnthony Melton and a Kyle Anderson. And so you got to have these low budget guys who can contribute for you. And seeing Scotty and Jay do that last night was cool.
No, I'm with you wholeheartedly. And then I think the other thing you have to at least be encouraged by, the guys that we're mentioning, like, let's be clear, this is probably like the bottom five guys of your rotation in general. Yeah. The fact that you're able to be competitive when you're playing these guys, because even before, forget all the injuries when the Grizzlies wind up playing whatever 41 guys or whatever they rostered last year. But if you just think back to when the early part of the season, they're without Ja and they're playing the back end, like, those guys got played off the floor. And this year they're much more competitive with these guys. And I think it also probably says something about the front office that, you know, you've pointed this out to me, maybe we have to wait and see on Zaire. I also don't think Zaire was necessarily, I think Zaire became less about pure performance and more about a crowd, odd man out, and we're just kind of like done with it. You know what I mean? Like, and so like maybe he needed a fresh start as much as anyone. But for the most part, the guys that leave the Grizzlies, they don't really go on to be like better than anything different than what they were here. And more times than not, like with Roddy, I'm trying to think who all they've shipped off. Tillman basically became a part-time player. Roddy, I mean, most of these guys, even Melton is like playing for the Sixers, but he's not any different than he was here. It's like, it's not like someone goes on and flourishes somewhere else.
Right, and that's exactly what's happened to Pippen and to Huff since leaving the Lakers. They've gone on to flourish, and so yeah, it's impressive to see the front office kind of take those swings and identify their guys and get it right. And to that point about Zaire maybe being an odd man out, let's look at who also for the Grizzlies is kind of in that on the fence right now. Jake LaRavia doesn't get that team option picked up, right? Because there's a crowd. Like, we don't know if there's for sure going to be room for you after Gigi Jackson comes back, after Vince Williams comes back. Luke Kennard is now healthy. Jalen Wells looks like he's going to be a something for you. So, like, is Jake LaRavia even, like, good enough to pick up that team option? You ended up saying no. And then he has a massive game for you last night and has more or less been a very serviceable rotation wing. And he's like a guy that you're not even sure on, from a contract standpoint. And so, you know, obviously the door is open for him to sign a longer term deal from an unrestricted free agency standpoint. But that's, you know, the hit rate is solid because they've needed the depth and the depth has come through for him.
Yeah. And I think they've done a good job on some of the people they swung and missed, because last year, this time when we were going through this, like, you could go through some swings and misses. They've done a nice job of replenishing quickly, but that's also brings me to the other conclusion. What if Ja's just this good? And part of the reason why these guys are playing, like, I think for the most part, like, Santi's had a big game, I think, without Ja. But most of these guys, I don't think it's any coincidence. Like, usually when these guys are having their best games, it's usually with Ja on the floor. I guess you can make the argument with Huff because he's playing more with other rotations. But, like, to me, it's just the classic, you know, the quarterback that makes everyone better, the point guard that makes everyone better. Because I know his numbers are not overwhelming. And part of the numbers not being overwhelming is the fact that, honestly, the minutes thing is getting dumb. Like, he's basically going to average 10 assists a game in about 28 minutes. Like, if you were to put his numbers start to get more overwhelming if he were playing the 36, 37 minutes that other stars are playing. And it's like, I get it, whatever, like, it's their strategy, whatnot. But I think this is the best basketball he's ever played. He just feels like he's completely in control.
control. He's in control of the game. And to your point, the offense looked really bad for a stretch of the end of the first quarter, early second quarter, when he was on the bench. And the Lakers tightened the game up. It started to get the offense just completely stagnated on both sides.
I think even I know Elliot made a comment on the radio broadcast because there was a point exactly. He's just talking like this is just stalling out. But I think even Brevin might have mentioned it too on the broadcast.
Yeah, and you got away with it because LeBron's got to have a break too. And when you're playing a team that doesn't have depth, you can get away with having your star player off the floor. And boy, the Lakers, it was just a when you look at Austin Reeves and Dalton Knecht going like a combined 3 of 16 or whatever it ended up being, it's like, what are you guys there for? And how maddening does this have to be for LeBron? I know we're in year however many of this now where it's kind of just been this way, but they had to trade away so many draft picks that they just have no cap room. They're wasting the spot on Bronny. Yeah, and it's just like, wow, Gabe Vincent and Cam Reddish are like your best options off the bench. It's I don't see a path forward this for the Lakers to really make much noise.
I'm sure LeBron, it's frustrating no matter what, but it's also like part of the reason they're in the position that they're in is because of how like LeBron wants them to operate. You know what I mean? Like you have to make room for Bronny. Like you have to make room for Russell or Westbrook. You know, like some of the like the move, like the like he LeBron is always kind of like he's a name brand guy. Like he wants big names around him, and it's like, man, those aren't the guys that help you. And then it's like the funny thing is like guys like Austin Reeves have helped him more than like Westbrook did.
Yeah. And meanwhile, they let guys like Scottie Pippen Jr. Correct. And Jay Huff slip right through their fingers.
And I'm sure for LeBron, when you play with rookies, like that's infuriating because LeBron is like a PhD level basketball mind. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I do understand that, but it's like, man, that form of like when you're always just wanting to team up with guys that are your friends, it's like, man, that's not what you need around you, dude.
No, but he was great last night. Awesome. So that's why you feel so good about it. That's why it was so entertaining because you saw arguably the greatest player of all time at or near his best at 40 years old.
Which
and you saw the Grizzlies have a superstar who was willing to rise up and meet him. And that was peak theater, peak NBA.
No, I you're 100% right. Not only the Grizzlies have a superstar who's willing to rise up and meet him, it's like the Grizzlies have someone that can rise up and meet him. It's like, I get it. It's not prime LeBron. But there's when Ja Morant goes up against LeBron James, it's not a joke. You know what I mean?
Oh, and Ja, I think he has a ton of respect for LeBron. I think that's obvious. But from the competitive standpoint, he's not so in awe of LeBron that he is deferential. If he feels like LeBron got away with an overly physical play on him, he's going to come right back and do the same thing on the other end of the floor. And that just takes a special level of competitor. And that's the type of guy that Ja Morant is.
All right, let's take a quick break. Let's find out what Eric made of last night. We'll discuss that with him next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
NBA is back. Eric Hasson is the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. Grizzlies and Wizards tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. for pregame. Eric will have tip-off at 7 p.m. Eric, we need a clarification because when we got the highlights this morning, we're playing them on Jeff's show. You announced, I believe it was in the first half, you announced that there was a bucket that ends up being the shot nurse shot of the game.
Right.
And that was obviously before the Huff play. My gut instinct is, do you have to do it in the first half?
No.
Okay.
I got caught in a game in Brooklyn kind of waiting for it to come back and forth.
Yeah.
And then the Santi jam, I mean, that was what it was, right? He went off Fertz, thumped it back with a right-hand dunk, something like that.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure.
That's what you went with, yes. I think there's probably a mechanics of it.
No, yeah, because what happens is if you pass on one and there's no more like big shots the rest of the game, then you're just kind of left holding the bag. I mean, who knew Jay Huff was going to go through three guys and reverse dunk off a rebound? I mean, come on. Let's be serious here. I should know because he's done it like four times now, but if I could change it, I would. I guess I should just be able to do another one and just redo it and just go, hey, there's another shot, near shot of the game, and just give them two and just give them some bonus because, you know, who says you can't have more than one shot, near shot of the game? Why is that a rule?
Well, the other thing I was thinking about is how would we have graded the 360 layups from Monday?
Yeah, but the problem with that one, and that 100% should have been the shot of the game, the first one. The problem with that one is I was so blown away by it. And
yeah, you were mesmerized, you forgot.
Yeah, I was trying not to cuss. I was trying not to cuss and get fired.
Yes.
I was trying to keep my job because I really wanted to say what was that.
Yeah, you wanted to say what we were saying when we were watching it on TV.
Holy you know what, yes. Yeah, 100%. Because at heart, I'm still a fan, and I still love to see stuff like that. And I realized after that I missed it, and then also at that time, God, how do I say this? I could kind of see the writing on the wall that I felt like they were outplaying the Nets, but they weren't putting the game away.
Yeah,
they weren't running
shots
away
weren't going
it.
Down.
Yeah, they weren't. They were getting the looks they wanted, and the shots weren't going down, and the Nets just kept finding a way to chip away, finding a way to make a play here or there. And I'm like, you know, having done this now for almost a quarter of a century, which, you know, means I'm old, but you start to realize, okay, like these are the nights where you're going to look back and go, we just didn't make shots. Like the shots that we had, the looks that we had that didn't go in, the turnover here, a turnover there, and then they score and you miss a defensive assignment and all of a sudden Dorian Finney-Smith thinks he's Larry Bird and is making every shot in the world and coming in shooting below 28%, you're like, this is the recipe for a game that you should have had that the home team came back and took back from you. So,
hi,
yeah.
How much fun was that game to call last night? Sorry to interrupt you, but, like, no, I want to get on to that, like, the good vibes of that Lakers performance. Like, how much
great.
Fun did you have?
You know, to be honest with you, Cobb, I have fun every night. I mean, I don't like losing, but last night was a blast. It's always Laker night's always, you're always kind of hesitant to hope that it doesn't go heavily in favor of the Lakers because you have a lot of people, and I'm not saying they're from Memphis. I'm sure some of them are, but I think a lot of people travel in from the region that are Laker fans, and who can blame them? You know, there are people that never had an NBA team, and when you grew up in the 80s and 90s and even 2000s, they were the bell cow. I mean, the Celtics went through a downtrodden stretch. The Bulls were awesome during the Jordan years, and then they were kind of mediocre. The Lakers really have only had, a handful of mediocre years, and they've always had one of the biggest superstars on their roster, you know, going back to 79 for the most part. And when you add Magic and Shaq and Kobe and Kareem, and then now, you know, LeBron, they've always had top tier guys. So it's fun to win that game, though, because it's fun to see the Grizzlies fans kind of go there. There's been nights where I've seen some Laker fans, not all of them, and in fact, a small handful, a very few, but they're incredibly obnoxious and pointing at their fingers about rings, and I'm like, just stop it. So that always, you know, that kind of makes it more fun. But I ran into Zach Kleiman in Brooklyn, and he asked me kind of the similar question, but just about the season, because the way they're playing. I said, it is a lot of fun. It's a fun brand of basketball. Nobody bought a ticket to be bored. And so I like the way they're playing. But in all honesty, I said, Zach, you know, I enjoy my job every night, even when it's tough, because, you know, you're doing something that you love. And when you watch guys get opportunities, and I think that's even more so why last night might have been more fun, because, of course, the usual suspects were great. Ja was fantastic before he took the fall, and Jaren was good. But, you know, to see Jay Huff and Scottie Pippen play the way they've been playing, Jake LaRavia, and then Jalen Wells get his opportunity. See these guys get a chance and, you know, leave every ounce of everything they have out there to make the most of that chance. That's what it's all about, and I like to see that for those guys.
I think the other thing, does it not feel like Ja's not – to me it feels like he's playing the best basketball of his life. Like, I know the numbers are not – like, he's not putting up the 50-point games, but in terms of, like, what you want out of your point guard and how many easy shots he creates for everyone, it just feels like he's really playing awesome.
His passing has taken huge steps. I mean, he's hitting guys. Think about this, and I think we said this last night. As guys like Zach Edey, Jay Huff, Jalen Wells, even Scottie Pippen, guys that haven't played with them, start catching the passes that they're dropping or are going through their hands. I mean, he's probably left 2-3 assists a night out on the table through no fault of his own. And you can see at times he gets a tad frustrated, but then I think there's a little bit more maturity now where in the past he might have gotten really flustered. Now he's kind of looking at him and he goes, you got to be ready. You got to be ready for that. You got to be ready to take that and you know, have your hands up and ready to go. So, you know, it'll get better too. So he's playing really well right now. There's no doubt about it. I think if he wanted to be selfish, he could be averaging close to 30 points, but he's trying to get everybody involved and get everybody comfortable in this new system.
Well, you make a good point. I don't know. Do you sit opposite of the TV hard cams, correct?
What's that?
You sit opposite of the TV hard cams, right?
So they're on the other side of the arena. Yes.
So I don't know how your angle was, but on Monday night, and this was like a random throwaway play, but Ja was kind of at the hash mark and whips this little like one-handed like sidearm bullet to Edey, and Edey ends up like kind of like catching it almost out of like instinct.
Oh yeah, I saw that one. Yeah,
but I was like, that's the exact type play that you're talking about, because like that was such an unbelievably good pass, and it's like, I get it, like, you know, Edey hasn't played with him, but it's like, to me, it's like, man, that should have turned into more than it was.
He had another pass there and then one similar last night where from the wing, he got it through traffic into the corner, and you're like, that ball shouldn't get through. Like, you shouldn't even be able to see that. And I think for him, he realizes right now that if he wants to take over at any time, he can. You know, if this guy was all about, I'm going to score 35 a night, I mean, look at what he does. He goes and elevates. But a couple times he's also, I think, in the aspect of self-preservation, he hasn't attacked and tried to dunk on every seven-footer. He hasn't attacked and tried to elevate over guys, you know, that are 260 pounds, and if he lands on them, it doesn't feel good. So I was going to last night, and I said this this morning on another station, I was shocked that Kevin Scott didn't call that foul on Christian Coloco, because I don't think Christian Coloco meant to make it that play. But when you're that high in the air and the guy doesn't give you a place to land, that's kind of the definition of, you know, being, you know, being hung out to dry. So, he's special. And when he's right and he's healthy and you have a full roster, I mean, I think we see what this team can do. They're not just beating teams. They're beating teams by double-digit points. And they had that one clunker in Houston, and they got thumped. And you look at their point differential, they're only a game above 500, yet they're outscoring their opponents by almost 4 points a game. That usually equates to like 3 or 4 games above 500. They've dropped 3 games to teams that you don't expect to be in the playoff picture, 2 to Brooklyn, 1 to Chicago, and yet they're 5-4. They very easily could be, 6-3, 7-2, but they're not. And I think if you look at it, you can understand why, because there's still those stretches where it's not second nature to them. And I've used it. I think I talked about it with you guys last week. It's a lot like Indiana last year. They're playing fast. They're putting up big numbers. They're making plays, but they have those nights where something doesn't click, or you don't make shots, or guys aren't on the same page. And then Indiana really caught their stride come late December, mid-January, and made that run into the NBA in-season tournament, which is now the Emirates Cup or Emeritus or however you say it.
Come on, Eric. It's the Emirates, or it's the, yeah, is it the Emirates NBA Cup? It is Emirates.
Yeah.
It is Emirates, but I don't know if they call it the NBA Emirates Cup or the Emirates NBA Cup.
I think it's the Emirates NBA Cup, and what I equate it to is the airline that I am not.
Yes, you and I will never fly. You and I will never fly that. Yes,
the one I will never be in, that first class where Jennifer Aniston is getting like warm cashews and like a foot massage. Yeah, no, that's not happening. So, but they caught that run there, and then they got better. And I think that you can see where there's room for this team to get better, and You don't have Desmond Bane. That's a massive, massive part of what you're capable of doing. And then you get Luke Kennard back last night. You haven't had Marcus Smart. You haven't had John Contra. You haven't had, G.G. Jackson or Vince Williams, but you knew that going in. I really wonder what happens when G.G. and Vince are ready with the way Jalen Wells is playing. Like, I don't think he just 100% cut his minutes, but you also committed to the other two guys as well. So you've got a depth situation that is going to be one that's becomes an asset to this team, because you have guys that there's just simply not enough minutes for them to get out there the way I'm sure they would like to. So what do you do? Do you try to package something up at the deadline and add a singular piece at a position you feel like you need help at? Or do you just roll with this and say, hey, we're just going to keep fresh legs and just keep coming at you. And, then when it comes playoff time, we'll figure it out from there. We'll see how it plays out. But as long as they keep a couple guys upright, I think this team's going to be a lot of fun to watch for all the way through till April.
Yeah, you allude to Jalen Wells, but, I mean, how do you grade what we've seen from Jalen Wells and Zach Edey as this rookie class for the Grizzlies through 9 games?
Cobb, you said some very nice things to me, but I'm just going to pat myself on the back too and say some nice things to myself. I felt this way about Zach Edey from the beginning. So, I think that when you look at what he did at Purdue, and I'm sure you probably saw a few more games than I did, but I actually saw quite a few, because when you're traveling and the Big Ten is what's on in your hotel room, it's what you watch, and he was on a lot. And from where he was as a freshman to where he was last year, and I use the example, I think it was the Purdue-Wisconsin game, where Wisconsin, I mean, what they did to him was borderline illegal. Like, it was criminal. They were beating up on him so bad. To their credit, the referees weren't stopping them, so why wouldn't they? And Zach was getting, I thought there was going to be a fight. And he fought through it, and the mobility was there. And, yes, the game at times for him in the NBA is going to be too fast. They're going to put a lineup out there where it's not going to be conducive to him staying out there, and I think that's what the Lakers did last night. You fortunately have Santi, Jaren, now Jay Huff at a legit 7-foot that you can use in there, Brandon Clark, so you have some depth. I think what Zach has done is is solid. I think he can continue to get better. Again, when he gets used to having his hands up anytime Jaws within a 10-foot radius of him, I think he'll get an extra bucket or two here. And when you break it down, to get six baskets for a guy that size when you're underneath grabbing offensive rebounds, you're going to get two or three on balls that you just get because you're bigger than everybody, and then you're going to get two or three good looks on the interior or lobs. And when they get their timing down on that lob, yeah, I think he's going to be a 12, 13, 14-point-per-game guy, 7, 8 rebound. And that's, for a rookie, those are great numbers. How much higher the ceiling goes, who knows? Only he can determine that. And when it comes to Jalen, I was blown away the first time I saw him, the size. I didn't think he was that big. He's a legit 6'7", like 6'6", 6'7". He's a big dude. But it's like the right big. It's athletic. It's long. And we were talking about this last night. It's ironic. Obviously, Dalton Connect in here, and a lot of people thought maybe the Grizzlies take Dalton Connect, who had a remarkable year with the Vols last year and started his career at what used to be a Division II in Northern Colorado. Jalen Wells did the same at Sonoma State. They went to a Power 5 school. Washington State, obviously not quite the level of Tennessee. They end up in the league, and Jalen Wells is the one thriving in this offense. Now, I don't think it's as easy for Dalton Connect to get his touches and his looks when you got LeBron and AD as for the Grizzlies, when Jalen Wells is there and John Morant is facilitating for everybody, but he's making his shots. And to me, the remarkable thing about Jalen Wells is, I'm sure you both have seen Ted Lasso. It's the goldfish thing. You have the memory of a goldfish. It's the shortest memory in the animal kingdom, according to the show. I don't know how true that is, but you just forget and you move on and you move to the next game, next play. He did not play well Monday. Everybody knew it. He knew it. He didn't hang his head. He didn't feel sorry for himself. He came back out, and dude is guarding LeBron James and holding his own. And I loved when he made a three over LeBron James. LeBron James tapped him on the head and said, "Nice work, young fella," kind of thing. And I get that. I don't know if people took that as disrespectful. I took it as one of the greatest of all time, looking at a kid that he had probably earned some of his respect for the way he was playing. Playing hard, playing physical. No one's ever going to just stop LeBron and shut him down because it's like almost 1,400 games or 1,300 games now that he's been in double figures in a row, and he's 1,500 games in his career. And Jalen Wells just never slowed down, never was awestruck by the moment. The poise, the maturity for a young man at his age, I love it. And always got a smile on his face, and to see the success, I couldn't be happier for him. And these guys that are getting the opportunities, when you talk about Jalen, you talk about Jay, you talk about Jake LaRavia and the guys that, if the injuries hadn't occurred, probably aren't seeing many minutes, and the way they're taking that opportunity and making the most of it, that's part of what the culture here has become. Yeah, last year sucked, but guys got the opportunity to play and made the most of it, and two guys turned it into regular full-time deals. So, if you don't do that, then you're not being professional, and I think that's what strikes me with what's going on within the walls of the organization is the level of professionalism and raising that, albeit there's been a couple of moments, as we all know, that challenge that. But most everybody is there and giving you everything they got, and you don't always see that with NBA guys.
Eric, we appreciate it, buddy.
Guys, have a great night.
That is, of course, Eric Hasseltine. Want to remind you that Zen Sports is now live in Tennessee, and they are launching the Big Game Sweepstakes, and it's going on right now. That means it's exclusive to Tennessee, where one customer will win a grand prize of two tickets, VIP tickets, I should say, tailgates, parties, and hotel stay for Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. It's a value of over $21,000, or you can win $10,000 cash. And what's more is that Zen Sports is also awarding 50 additional prizes, which include two tickets to any Tennessee sporting event or $100 cash. Customers will earn one entry for every bet made in November, one entry for every dollar bet in November, and two times the entries for every parlay made. The drawing will happen on December the 3rd, so go ahead and get started now on Zen Sports. You can download the app in your app store, and also you can sign up using my referral code, that's JeffTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, and receive a 25% odds boost when you sign up using JeffTN. in. When we come back, let's get into the tasting menu and more of the, or we should say more from the world of sports. We'll do that. We'll also talk to Jason Smith coming up here in the next hour. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.